If you've been looking for a comprehensive Bible school curriculum that explores redemptive realities in Jesus Christ, grounded in the Word of God, look no further. The goal of this podcast is to spread the life-transforming Word of God throughout the world, for the equipping of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, and to build up the body of Christ in what Jesus has accomplished for us through His death, burial, resurrection, and seating at the right hand of God the Father. There's such an untapped potential for Christians to enter into their glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. Together, we will discover what Jesus has done for us by providing such a great salvation and how to appropriate the promises of God in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Each podcast season will cover one of the books that I have compiled over the years. You can find a complete listing of my Christian education material on my website at www.wordinspired.com. You're welcome to download these ebooks for free in PDF format for your own personal or ministry use. So let's explore these biblical truths and principles together that will absolutely transform our lives. God bless. Welcome to the Gospel series, The Parables of Jesus, The Workers in the Vineyard, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. The theme is many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. The context is Jesus contrasted the established religious elite, the Pharisees, with his disciples, or newcomers. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Recruiting the workers. In this parable, I believe the owner of the vineyard is speaking of God. The vineyard or grapes speaks of lost humanity to be gathered into God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, chapter 13, verse 24 to 30, chapter 21, verse 33 to 46, John chapter 4, verse 35 to 38, Romans 1:13. James 5, verse 7 to 8, Revelation 14, 14 to verse 16. The workers are those who labor unto the Lord by ministering to people on his behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, Colossians 4, 12, 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, Hebrews 6, 10. The denarius represents the rewards and blessings for serving God faithfully. The Jews divided the day into 12 hours from sunrise at 6 a.m. until sunset 6 p.m. The third hour would be 9 a.m., the sixth hour, 12 p.m., ninth hour, 3 p.m., and the 11th hour, 5 p.m. What is interesting to note is that the landowner agreed to pay the first group of workers one denarius, a Roman silver coin equivalent to one day's wages of hard labor. This first wave of workers agreed to this specific wage, yet the landowner kept looking for more workers later on in the day. But instead of agreeing specifically to an amount of wages, he promised the followers, "I will pay you whatever is right." This took faith to accept. The gift of eternal life is the same for all. Matthew 20, verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and received a denarius. So when those who came and who were hired first, they expected to receive more. but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. So at 6 p.m. in the afternoon, all the workers came to be paid their wages. I am sure that those who had only worked for 1 hour were surprised to get a whole day's wages. Naturally, the first group, who had worked all day long, expected more pay for having worked all day. They were comparing themselves with the other workers. They received what was agreed upon. The religious Pharisees, who lived all their lives for God in countless religious works, labored harder than anyone else, so in their own eyes, expected more from God in return. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 to 16. Now eternal life, Romans 6:23, is a free gift offered to all, regardless of how long they served or what they do for the Lord. The thief on the cross had a few hours left to live, yet Jesus saved the man. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. Now in Romans 4, verse 4, now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. In the beginning of chapter 19, the Pharisees tested Jesus with a question, and at the end of the same chapter, Peter stated that they left all to follow Jesus. In Matthew 19:30, Jesus makes the statement, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the same statement made at the end of this parable in Matthew 20:16. These narrative threads are connected even though they are divided by a chapter separator. The Pharisees and other religious leaders were considered the old guard or the established order. The 12 disciples were fresh out of the masses in Israel and considered new kids on the block. They were not educated, considered blue-collar workers or tradesmen, as was Jesus, John 7:15. Acts 4 verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It has always been God's style to choose lowly people in the eyes of the world to do his work. Luke 10 verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 to 29. In this way, no one can boast or take credit, for all the glory and the credit goes to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 to 31, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 17. In 1 Corinthians 1:29 in the New King James Version, it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. God's sovereign discretion, Matthew 20 verse 13. But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So the first group who had labored all day received what was agreed upon. God has the right to bestow eternal life on all who come to him in repentance, regardless of their background or past deeds. We don't earn salvation. It's a gift from God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. Going back to Matthew chapter 19, a rich man had asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life in verse 16. Jesus had simply answered the man based on the old covenant requirement that they were currently living under. The young man Jesus was talking to happened to be very wealthy. To follow Jesus, he has made it clear to all that they must abandon all to follow him. Matthew 4 verse 19, chapter 8 verse 22, 9 verse 9, chapter 10 verse 32 to 39, Mark 4 verse 34 to 38, in Luke chapter 14 verse 25 to 33. The rich man was unwilling to let go of his earthly riches. However, the 12 disciples of Jesus did leave all to follow the Lord. So Peter asked in Matthew 19 verse 27. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left homes, or brothers, or sisters, or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." What Jesus said in response to Peter's question is outstanding. Yes, there is a cost to follow Jesus, but it is a small price to be paid for all that we receive from God in this life and in the life to come. Romans 8:18, Hebrews 11:26, and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 through 9. Of course, it's not about what we receive in return, but hey, it's worth it to follow Jesus. His love is better than life, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Psalms 19:11 and 84 verse 10. I love what it says in Psalm 63:3. "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Everyone has a choice to make concerning eternal matters. We have a free will. We are not robots. However, God knows who will choose him and who won't in advance. That's called foreknowledge. Acts 17 verse 24 to 28, Romans 8 verse 29, Romans chapter 9 and chapter 11. However, I don't believe God makes that decision for us. That would be predestination. The Lord's 12 disciples had the benefit of those who had gone before them. So these men were born in Israel by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. 1 Peter 1 verse 2. John 4:38. "I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." God bless. I highly encourage you to continue listening to the Word of Life Study Series podcast and encourage your friends to tune in as well. The scriptures encourage us in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to receive the message with great eagerness and to examine the scriptures every day in order to confirm the truth that you're hearing. God's Word is our final authority for all matters that pertain to life and godliness. I'd like to close this episode by praying over you according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And in chapter 2, verse 6, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Be blessed and see you soon.